We're living in a material world, and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, thanks, Nancy Jax. I'm on with Mr. Weber on the board. SP Futures up 11, Penn 75. Dow Futures up 113, NASDAQ Futures up 30 as central banks around the world continue to pour money into the system, and we just keep going up. It's partying like 2012 the last few weeks, last week or so, and maybe I have such mixed emotions about this. I have all my people pretty solidly long, so I guess I'm happy that it's doing this. But I know that there, even though the people running the show don't think there's a limit to this, there's a limit to this. This is the manna from heaven. It's the Chinese markets. It's to the point where, like I said, it's actually becoming a little easier to trade because you just disconnect your brain and deal with it. I mean, but the idea that I can't believe Jay Powell is just going to do this like forever. I mean, the man's too smart for this. We're gonna have 2% growth, or we're gonna have a 6.5% money supply growth. We just pour money in the system and inflate every asset price for the 1%ers who run the world. Look what it's done to the prices of professional sports teams. From ready, what are they up in the last 5 years? Six times? Five times? The numbers are absolutely they're spectacular when you think about it. And anyway, a lot of stuff going on. And we're still going to have economic growth is going to slow sharply, according to a lot of this CNBC Fed survey. U.S. economic growth is set to slow sharply this year and next, according to CNBC's Fed survey. Deutsche Bank reportedly loaned more than $2 billion to Trump over two decades. I guess we just keep plowing ahead, and until something bad happens, we don't worry about it. But I do worry about it. It's my job for my clients, and as of the last couple of days in a few people's accounts, I'm actually buying a couple of extra puts. I don't know when I'm going to need them, but I think I'm going to. They're cheap. So, for some people that absolutely don't want to have any kind of a loss if it goes down, I'm being a little more aggressive to the downside. So, a few more days of 10 points up in the spooz, I'll probably be chasing calls, but that's all right. I'm good at that. So we can. But I don't quite get where we're headed with this. I think some of the listeners, Manny, are sometimes, maybe not as adept at what I'm talking about, because sometimes I can be obtuse, I understand that. When you talk about throwing money, there's a difference between nominal growth and real growth. And nominal growth is growth in dollars. Stuff denominated in dollars or whatever, or pounds or whatever. So in other words, if Home Depot does $2 billion in 1 year, okay, the next year they do $2.3 billion. Not normally, that would be good. You would think they would be selling, what is that? It's 15% more nails, more plasterboard, whatever. And that would be a good thing. It means people are remodeling their homes, or they're cutting down on heat loss, they're doing all the right things. I mean, that's what you want to do. You have a housing stock, you have garage stock, you have whatever you want to call it, barn stock, that needs to be updated, needs to be fixed, needs to be redone, new houses, you name it. That's America. That's the rest of the world. That's what you want to have happen. But if you decide that, whoa, my inflation's 20%, so really, I actually sold less widgets, less nails, less plasterboard than the year before, but it all just costs more. Then I've got what I would consider to be a problem. And that's what I'm always, Mr. Bernard Cornan just wandered in. Boy, you know what you did, Brendan? Brendan doesn't even realize it, but he wandered in on just the wrong time this morning.
The wrong time?
Did you realize what was happening down there?
I'm not understanding your context.
As you were having trouble parking your car.
Yeah, what was going on?
The choreography of the shift in firemen.
Oh, yeah. Well, Normally there's three spots out right in front of the door, but those weren't available this morning.
Well, they're not available because the guys showed up for the firehouse early. Now, they don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that don't know in Chicago, if you're a manly man, meaning police, fire, construction workers, you never have to pay for parking. Now, Brendan, we're in the girly man category. We have to pay, right?
Right.
So downstairs at the fire department, not that I don't begrudge him, the idea of somebody coming to work like the rest of us and paying $20 a day to park, why should a manly man ever have to do that? So if you're a fire department, or actually our places in front of our building here, the sign actually says for parking for fire people. And then there's a little alley next to us that only fire department people get to park in the alley. So you can never go down the alley. It's always their cars. And someone parking in the firehouse. So the whole choreography that nobody has to pay to park, the new guys pick up all the other spots around here when the old guys leave and they all shift cars.
Yep.
Now, if you're a construction worker, you just put one of your old construction worker vests in the window and the policeman need to leave you alone because you're a manly man. Just saying, right? I mean, we know how it works here.
Yeah, that is how it works.
Sort of like Trump saying that his supporters are manly men. They're police bikers. And how he would group people in the military, police, and biker gangs together to me was special.
Bikers for Trump.
Yeah, bikers for Trump. And they're tough guys, and they're gonna. And if you mess with them, they're gonna come after you. Is basically what he said. And I don't know. I just. The world is an odd place. So help me with this, Brendan. I was talking about nominal versus regular gain. And I guess just to finish that up, there have been times when there have been real gains in the market when they're actually when the headline number went down. I mean, there have been times in history where the money supply was constricting. We actually had deflation, but there was growth. Now I think we have serious inflation. We're just trying to, the theme, Brennan, was how long can the Fed keep pouring money into the system? We go up 10 points a day in the spoos.
Mm-hmm.
And look what China's doing to their market. Does anybody think that the Chinese market rally has anything to do with all of a sudden things are better over there? The Chinese government is pouring money in every which way they can. Every hose has been opened up.
Where do you think they learned that from?
Here. They're pretty good at that. Hey, I have the possibility of, you may have to be here. You may have to be a special Brendan. I have the possibility of interviewing an alderman running
for. Oh, really?
I cannot trust myself. I can't trust myself to do this.
When is this?
Oh, it would have to be before April 5th.
Yeah, April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Yeah. April 5th, if you do it the 3rd or the 4th, yeah. That can make a lot of difference.
That can make a whole lot of difference. I don't know how I can possibly stand down and not ask some tough questions, which nobody's going to want to answer.
Mm-hmm. Which ward?
I can't say that.
Okay.
43rd.
Okay.
Why don't I ask you? I'll run it by you. Have you been over to the Lincoln Yards thing in a while?
I've driven near there, but not west of Clybourne.
Okay. Well, the part where the northern part from Webster to Armitage or to Cortland was pretty much all the steel company.
Yeah, that was all Finkel Steel.
Well, and the one metal company went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So the land was pretty much gone. It was pretty much vacant. Now, of course, it was all zoned for industrial.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody could buy it, really.
Right.
Because who's going to put industry in there when the tides seem to be turning?
Mm-hmm.
But there have been people that have wanted to sell their property over there for other use, and they haven't been able to.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so which means you're basically sitting on a piece of land you can't get rid of. Essentially.
Right.
And if you go south of there, all the way to North Avenue is where this goes, and that's where the Home Depot is. But I'm sure not gonna mess with the Home Depot. But involved in there there was a big trucking company, there was a big fire department, repair facility. There was a Hennepin Wrecking had their huge, yard there.
Yeah, there's a big scrap yard that's still over there.
I don't think that's technically part of it. That's the other side of the river.
I thought it was on both sides of the river.
No, it's just on the one side.
Okay.
But it's on my side, because I go right by it every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're technically... It's from Elston to the river, I believe, is the boundaries. isn't it, from Webster to north?
I know it's from Webster to north, but I thought there was parts on both sides of the river over there.
I don't think they're giving people on the other side of the river. But my point is, how the bleep does all this happen? I mean, you can't get a permit in this friggin' town, and all of a sudden, if you and I, because Brennan's got big scratch, he's a 1%er kind of guy, if you and I would have walked in and said, the city did they just give these guys the 3 square blocks that were the fire department thing, or is there a cozy price? What if you and I were to sit in and we'll give you $5 million for that property?
Well, you know, they can negotiate the price the big thing is the zoning, allowing for the zoning and for the development here. And now with Sterling Bay coming in for this development, it is so big that it's going to transform the area and theoretically transform the city.
Yeah, but okay.
So it's too big to fail.
But the individual pieces of property, mm-hmm. they can only go to one person, Sterling Bay?
No. Anybody can buy it, but...
I think not.
I don't think there's any limit. You can't have a restrictive covenant on who you sell the property to.
Well, how does Sterling Bay then develop a whole area if they don't own it?
Well, I think one way, and I do not know if this is the case or not, but through eminent domain, the city can condemn it and then sell it to the developer as part of a package.
So I can want to put a high rise up, and they can condemn my piece of property, so somebody else can put up their high rise.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was that there were limits. You can grab my piece of property for an expressway,
or for City Hall. You can build public buildings on it,
but you can't really condemn my gas station and make it somebody else's gas station, can you?
Well, you know, that's interesting. That a couple of years ago, there was a court case about that allowed the expansion of what really was a proper purpose for eminent domain. That lends some argument to the fact that you can. If you're doing it for a broader plan, that you may be able to use eminent domain to condemn the property and then package it as part of a program for redevelopment.
You know, you're right about that, because I remember, Manny, we weren't doing the show, but that, I won't say anything bad about him, David Souter voted for that, and somebody put a big sign on his Vermont estate,
mm-hmm.
Condemned for Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
It was a broadening of the definition of the purposes for eminent domain. Because up until that point, I mean, in almost every state, the law was that if you wanted to condemn the property, well, think about this in the context of the wall down in the Mexico border. The federal government is going in now and condemning property, or in the process of condemning property through eminent domain.
In their mind, that's for a wall. It's not condemning your pasture and giving it to Maddie for a pasture.
That's right. But it's the same principle that they could go in and use it for a proper public purpose. And whether that's a proper public purpose or not, I'm not stating right now, but you can go in and use it for the public good. Recently, there was a court case that decided that the public good can be broadened even for private to private use.
It can be broadened for, if you're getting more taxes on a new guy, you can put the old guy out.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but...
Well, it's...
Yes.
It's a cynical Chicago way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I have it under somewhat authority that the reason why the Bear Stadium deal on the west side by the United Center, at that time Chicago Stadium, went under is because the Bears, the thieves that they are, wanted to condemn Wirtz's parking lots and make them their parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yep.
God, we do have some beautiful people that run this town, don't we? But I mean, I guess I don't how this all happens, though. I mean, how does somebody not fight that? I guess because you have the zoning variation.
Well, they are fighting, and even through eminent domain, you can fight. But ultimately, the power is in the government. They have more resources, and they've got more time, and they will be able to wear down the people who are challenging them.
But are the people getting? I guess my question is, and this is what absolutely pisses me off, well, about a lot of things about this city, is I don't think you can do a transaction here, Brennan. I think, for instance, you could sell your condo, and that would be an okay transaction, even though nobody knows the tax is going to be next year. At least both sides are on that. But any piece of property that sells in the city, to me, is almost, I don't know what the bad word would be, but it's almost crooked because the next person always manages to get a variance and you never even know what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I have this big, property, there was a big trucking deck. It was right behind Home Depot. As a matter of fact, it went down in like a week. Next week, I went over there and I go, what happened to the trucking deck? does this guy, what's these guys' name? Well, Lincoln Yards, are they going to get that company? Do they have the variance in their back pocket? So, even though there's going to be a variance in that area where people weren't supposed to live, it was all supposed to be industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we changed that, and I have this trucking company, and I've got, you know, the thing looked like how many acres was that thing? Why don't I just say, no, I'll just stay right here, and I'll build condominiums right on my property. Or is only Lincoln Yards get the ability to do that, and this guy has to sell his stuff at a cheaper price to them because they have the variance and he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work for the individual in that area. but typically, you're right. You have to get the variance. And your question about whether Sterling Bay has that, from a business standpoint, I don't think they would invest that amount of money without having assurances that they would.
Okay, assurances is such a Chicago word.
Yeah. Without having the assurances that the zoning variance was forthcoming, if not in hand.
For them.
Yeah.
So you and I just want to know what room we could have gone and said, whatever those other bleeps paid for the fire department plate, we'll play double. I don't think there is such a room.
Well, I don't know that there is such a room either.
And these are the same guys that if you and I wanted to open a saloon, they would rake us over every call there is. And here, they're moving an entire fire department thing and give these guys to go.
Mm-hmm.
What crook in City Hall do you think has an investment in this thing? Is it Ram? Is it its brother?
This is all for the public good and for the development of the city of Chicago.
There's not an L line over there. Is that a bus line? There's not anything.
Yet.
Where are you going to put it?
Well, you know, the metro station is part of the Lincoln Yards development. I'm not sure how exactly they're going to work that out.
No, it's not. That's on the other side. Wait a minute. No, it isn't. That's on Ashland.
Yeah, it's over by that intersection of Elston and Ashland, and Armitage. But I thought that there was a renovation or a new metro station that was part of the Lincoln Yards plan. I don't know how they're going to get the tracks over there, but I think that's part of the development.
Well, they're not going to change all those bridges and stuff and move them. No way.
I think that there's a new metro station as part of the plan for Lincoln Yards.
There's probably a remodeled station because the thing's old as hell, but there's no way. Those are three tracks that come together in one spot. I can't even imagine trying to move that. You can put in a big parking spot, have another access to the station, and do all kinds of stuff with it, but I don't think you're moving the tracks.
I'm not sure if they're going to move the tracks or not, but I'm pretty sure that there's a development plan for a new metro station as part of that development.
For those of you that don't know, when the Northwestern Metro, what used to be the Northwestern, comes out of downtown, the first stop it races is to Armitage. And this is when the Northwest lines and the North lines are still together. So it's a stop for both the North and the Northwest. North going up the shore to Kenosha, the Northwest going to Arlington Park and Barrington and those kinds of places. So this particular station, you can get on either one of those, and that's where the separation takes place. So there's really a six-track main line coming in and two threes going out. So I don't know what you'd do with that. Now, the station itself is hard to get to by car. There's no easy way to get out of there to a bus. Plus, there's no real bus lines, really.
No, there's no bus line that goes up either Elston or Clybourne.
It's just the Ashland bus right there.
The Ashland bus.
And the Armitage bus.
Armitage bus. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right, Manny. And but, I mean, it's not people-friendly at all. But you could re-people-friendly the place somehow, you know, by making access from the other side or putting a parking lot in and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody's moving the tracks. Like, I don't even know where you'd go with those.
But that's one of the big problems with the development that you're talking about before, because it was industrial. You know, people would go there to go to work, but it's difficult for people who work downtown to get through there on public transportation.
Let's just say impossible.
Hmm?
Let's just say impossible.
Well, impossible without a lot of big changes and a lot of expensive rerouting of things.
You know, the only way you could do it, honestly, and of course they would never do this, it's too simple and too stupid, is to have a water taxi. Because the river runs right by there.
Yeah, you need a lot of water taxis for that development.
You need, a reasonable size.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that runs right downtown from there is the river.
Well, that's true.
The water taxi would be perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other major cities, people ride ferries as part of their commute every single day.
Yep.
That's right.
It'd be a little cold in January and February, but still.
Well, I mean, up until it's very rarely freezes. It did this year, those 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Children's Memorial was, they're putting how many thousand people there?
Yeah, there's a big development there.
There's no hint about public transit. That's why I better not have this alderman on. Because if I start asking these questions, she's going to just pile off. Because it makes no sense to put, you go to the Fulton L stop in the morning, the place is jammed. Here, let's put another 40,000 people. How are they going to get downtown?
Well, remember, Lincoln Yards was rezoned outside of Wagasback's ward and put in Brian Hopkins' ward.
It's not Wagasback. He won.
I know. But it used to be, the part of the Lincoln Yards development was in Wagasback's ward until they were just redistricted a while ago, and the redistricting puts Lincoln Yards into Brian Hopkins' second ward.
See, if you don't like a development that the mayor does, they'll just move it out of your ward.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that special? SP Futures down up 11, Dow Futures up 105, NASDAQ Futures up 29. Be right back, Mr. Joel and Cannon. We'll talk about how Michigan is a number two seed, right, Manny?
That's right.
It's not so bad. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to ptisecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's ptisecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al, Mr. Brendan Cornan, and we have Mr. Joel Cannon about to be on. We have Mr. Matt Weber here. This guy, Elon Musk. Never sought approval for a single Tesla tweet, U.S. regulator tells judge. Apparently he's supposed to be good. Who would want to be his approval person? Who'd want that job? Just saying. SP Futures up 975. NASDAQ Futures up 2550. Dow up 98. We've got Boeing is only down 48 cents today, so it's not messing with the Dow too much. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 106.9%. FTSE up 43.6. Back around up 27.5 is this kind of relentless worldwide throwing money at the system is on all levels here. Asia, Nikkei down 17, that's probably flat. Shanghai down 5, call that flat. Hang Seng up 57.2, so there's a little bit of a pause over there. I don't exactly call it a sell-off. Oil up another 38 cents, 59.47. Brent up 55 cents, 68.09. Natural gas up 3 cents, 288. RBOB 189, up another penny. Home heating oil, 198. So that, I'm glad I still have not sold any calls to my XLE people, which is good because it's going up every day. I guess I love this rally on one hand. On the other hand, I think it makes no sense. Gold up 580, 1307. Silver up 7 cents, 1540. Matty, what do you got for us, Trevor Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start on the north side. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, though, we have a crash out west. It looks like it's blocking the right lane on the inbound side right at the Tri-State Tollway. So some stop-and-go traffic right where the Eisenhower and the Tri-State intersect there. No issues on the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good. One other accident to report, it's on I-80 down in Joliet at Briggs Street. There is a crash. Off the expressways, one issue to report on the south side, Pulaski South at 34th Street. There is an accident, and that has southbound traffic using the northbound lanes there right around 34th, so keep that in mind. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, we actually warm up a bit this afternoon. We'll be mostly sunny. We'll reach a high of 49 later on this afternoon. Still cold this morning. So you'll still want to bundle up, but enjoy a nice commute home. Right now it's clear and 33, going up to a partly cloudy high of 49. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful warm day, partly cloudy skies, high of 86. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, battle of stocks and jocks basketball teams. It was the Bulls blowing out the Suns in Phoenix, 116-101. In hockey, Hawks and Coyotes are fighting for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Blackhawks earned a point but lost at home in overtime to Vancouver, 3-2. Hawks had a 1-0 lead and then trailed 2-1 late in that one before tying it. They lost 16 seconds in overtime but did earn a point. Coyotes lost to the Lightning 4-1, so the Coyotes are 4 points up on the Hawks with 10 games to go for that eighth and final playoff spot in the West. Lastly, the NIT tips off tonight. Loyola made the NIT as they were upset in the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. So they will take on Creighton in Omaha. That's an 8 p.m. local time tip in the NIT. The NCAA Tournament play-in games tip off tonight as well. Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M battle for a 16 seed. Temple and Belmont are the two 11 seeds. Winner of that one will take on Big Ten's Maryland. Chief.
You know, Sister Jean would never, never allow reporters to be treated the way that the Peoria reporter was treated.
That's true. That is very true. Yeah, that Bradley story was something.
What happened there? I didn't catch that one.
Oh, they barred one of the local... There was a reporter from the Peoria newspaper who has covered the Bradley team for the last 30, 35 years, and times he was the only person in the stadium. And they barred him from covering the team going into the NCAA tournament because he didn't project and protect the Bradley brand.
Which is what?
He wasn't rooting them to go all the way and win the tournament.
I guess he was. They said he had obviously said some negative things over the years, and so now they made the tournament for the first time in 10 years, and so they said you can't come, which that sounds pretty American, huh?
Yeah,
what is very American? It's the new America. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Have you guys had Sister Jean on the show at all?
Not yet.
Maddie was supposed to get her, and he failed.
And Bradley, is it like the first time they've been in the tournament since they had Hersey Hawkins?
They went once in 2006, kind of randomly. But, yep. Yeah, before that, I think that was probably the last time, yeah.
Maddie, were you even born then? I mean, how old are you?
I was born in 83, so I was born, but I was young.
Okay.
But he was dribbling around.
How you doing?
Who's Bradley's biggest star, probably?
I don't know. I hear they have some good three-point shooters, kind of a little bit of an offensive-minded team.
No, I mean,
they're going up against Michigan State.
No, I'm talking about historically. Who was their biggest star? It was Bradley.
Bradley basketball's biggest star. I mean, and it's not Hersey Hawkins?
No. Well, I'd say this guy was better than Hersey Hawkins.
Okay, you're going back a long time here on me, but let me take a stab. Could you give me an era?
In my era, I've watched him play a lot.
Brad Miller?
No, Chet Walker.
Chet Walker? Did he ever play for the Pistons?
No, he was on
for the Bulls.
He was on the greatest basketball team ever, but in most people's imagination. For 1 year. He was on the Philadelphia 76ers and they won with, Wilt, it was Gus Johnson, Chet Walker, was it Dave Bing and Wally Jones? Was that the team?
Hmm. That's pretty close. I can look up the roster. But yeah, Chet was famously here anyway, played with Jerry Sloan and Norm Van Leer, didn't he?
He was one of the first guys, Dick Motta, to extend his career. Played Chet because he had, you know, in those days they played on some pretty bad floors, so a lot of guys had bad knees, and so Chet was Dick Motta played him. We played him 24 minutes a game, and he didn't care. He wasn't a Tom Thibodeau, you know. We're gonna play it 24 minutes, like unless we need you, or you're paying 48. I mean, Chet would, no matter what, Dick Motta protected him like he was his kid, and I'll bet he played 3 more years here than he probably should have, right, Brennan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, Dick Meyer was a man of his word. He would not be a coach today.
Nope.
No, nobody'd want him. But Chet was. He was one of the best one-on-one players I've ever seen. And interesting part is, they asked the Big O, who was better, him or who's the big star in the Lakers? Elgin Baylor.
Yes,
Elgin Baylor. Yep.
They asked Big O who was better. He goes, "That's easy, Chet. He was bigger, faster, stronger, and he played better defense."
Yeah, and from I'm just looking them up, from Benton Harbor High School in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
You see some of these schools and some of the people that I see St. Bonaventure. Did they end up making in, Manny?
No, they lost the title game to St. Louis.
Yep.
Who was their big star? Way back
all
in the
time?
Day.
Yeah. I have no idea who the Bonnie's big star was.
Bob Lanier.
Bob Lanier went there? Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
And Bill Russell went to San Francisco of all places?
I knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
The Dons.
Well, then they That's closed right. it down. It was crooked. They didn't have a team for, what, a decade?
Yeah, they essentially got blacklisted for quite a period of time, and they're back, and they're actually pretty decent now.
I don't know that they
They're in Gonzaga's conference, so they never win, but they're pretty good.
I'm going to say that I don't think they got blacklisted. They had some kind of an issue. And the Jesuits said, if that's the way we're running this program, we're out.
Well, that could be, that could be, they could have done it
themselves. I don't think it was an NCAA sanction. I think it was the Jesuits who did it.
They just said, no, if we're that crooked, we're out. All right, Joel, you got 2 minutes to tell us about this market. We're pouring money in worldwide, 10 points a day in the spoos. What's going on here, buddy? Can we do this forever and we'd all just be rich?
Oh, my God. I mean, I just think every day, no, you know, you had the quad witch, right? Big expiration last week, and you had a lot of buying, of course, a lot of selling, but it was a strong day. On Friday, strong close, and I always look at the Friday, Monday moves, and boy, oh boy, we just moved right on from Friday here. So at this point, man, oh man, there's just not a lot of resistance to talk about in the S&P 500. And if you're looking at, you know, the expirations being turning points, man, this is turning points or a resumption of the trend. Boy, strong day on Monday. I'm looking for a resumption of the trend here for the next 3 months, and that would take us up to the June expiration and maybe all-time highs. But, man, if you didn't invest when the market was going straight down in December, you are left scratching your head. I know a couple of my buddies tried to time it with their portfolio, selling, oh, I'm going to buy it back. I don't do that because I sell and then I never buy back, so I just stay invested. But tough rally, a lot of underinvested people out there, and, you know, you got the big guns leading the way.
Yeah, I just can't believe how much what China's doing to their markets. I mean, they were so pissed off, basically, that Trump was using their market, doing crummy versus ours, is how he was beating them. But they just started pouring money into the place, and now the market was up. I bet the government's buying. I mean,
you got the, I call it the China put. You know, you have the Fed put, the kind of China put. I mean, when and if the deal is ever announced here, I mean, we keep going up without the deal, you know, being announced. So that's another thing. I mean, you got the China put in this market. You also have this market, which is just famous for rotation. If they're selling this, they're buying that. Right now, it looks like a little bit more moving to the financials. Which is a little bit puzzling here ahead of the Fed meeting tomorrow, but I don't think the Fed's going to be doing anything crazy.
No.
As far as, you know, bumping up rates, they're going to hold steady here. So just, rotation. And, you know, they sell everything and they buy pot stocks, or they sell everything and they buy bank stocks. So a lot of rotation going on for the market, a little bit more of a broad-based rally.
Your buddy is drinking the Kool-Aid. So, Where can I get a bet down on this Montana?
You want Montana? You want Montana against Michigan?
What's the spread? What's the spread?
Straight up? You
taking it straight up?
All the action you want. I don't know what the spread is on it, but interesting how we lost the Big Ten championship to State. They beat us three times in a row, yet they have to go through Duke to get to the Final Four. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you guys got a guy.
Yeah, and we got Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga did beat Duke earlier in the year when they had Zion Williamson. But then they play that kind of, you know, softer schedule in the Mountain West Conference, not the same competition that you have in the ACC and the Big Ten. So, I don't know. I rarely in my brackets do I load up heavy on one team, and I'm going to be just like all the other saps out there. To me, Duke looks unbeatable. As long as Zion Williamson is healthy, two other guys that are going to be top 10 picks in the draft as well, plus Coach K. So I'm glad we don't have to go through Duke. If we meet him in the championship, of course I'll do that one obligatory Michigan bracket. But boy, you got a player that dominant, it's hard to ignore.
Yep, that's the truth. Take care, buddy. Talk to you next week.
All right, go Blue.
SP Futures up 10, NASDAQ Futures up 27. Right back with Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Brennan Klein, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, and finally, after today, we can stop getting the tweets. Where the hell's Kenny? Here he is. Kenny, how are you?
Kenny's here.
You're a popular man. Where the hell's Kenny? Did he go to Italy? Is he back in Boston making pizzas? What the hell's he doing?
He's going to Fox News.
Going to Fox News. That's another thing.
How does everyone know I used to make pizzas in Boston? Isn't that interesting? Is that just speculation? Because well, I did.
Because the family owned the whole North place. End. We figured you made the rounds. 1% of pizza joint. All of a sudden we see you on TV with your recipes. Hey, you know, there's a lot of money in that business, doing recipes on TV.
There's a lot of money in the business. You know, Sunday, I stopped for a slice of pizza. I just had an urge for a slice of pizza, so I got two slices of pizza, and the guy says to me, it's $6.50. And I said, it's been a while since I bought a slice of pizza. So I go, $6.50 for two slices of pizza? We charge $0.30 a slice, although it was, to be fair, it was, you know, 1976, but we charged 30 cents a slice. Now I'm paying $3.10 a slice, $3.15 a slice.
Kenny, you and I have talked, not recently, in a couple weeks, but I've been kind of watching the places that are people in Washington, and you don't have to agree, you can disagree. The idea of this inflation, and I'm telling you, one of the spots I'm suggesting to you, I'm not telling you, is in these leases. You watch, I don't know of a soul in Chicago that's making a dime in a restaurant business doesn't own the building. And the ratio of what, I have a couple of restaurant buddies, plus I count you as a buddy, and we never really talk restaurants, but I'm gonna say that with the leases there are now in the city, if you walk into a place, cause you know restaurants, you'll be appalled. You're paying probably now a minimum of 5 to 6 to 1 on what you're actually eating or drinking everywhere just to pay for the lease. And if you talk to the owner of the restaurant, they're telling you you're not making any money.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I think you're right. It's certainly for sure in New York, right? The prices are just out of, the rent prices are just out of control. And so therefore, the dinner prices, or trying to go out to dinner is, once again, becomes, for a lot of people, an onerous expense.
Well, you look at what you're drinking or you're eating, and even if you're not Poe, you look at it and you go, all right, let me get this straight. I just went into this place, I bought 2 glasses of wine, I'm looking at the bottle, I know the bottle's $10. I just paid $11 twice, they charged me tax, and I left a tip. So it's basically, $30 for a quarter of a $9 bottle of wine. what am I doing here? And the fact is, they're not making any dough.
Right.
You've stretched it by buddy Restaurant Al, who's been on the show, who shouldn't tell me these things. His linguine is a clam linguine, who he claims is one of the best in town. It probably is. Al's a pretty good cook. He says that's his highest priced plate for him. It's $4. He charges $22.
Is how much? 22.
So it's 5.5 to 1. I don't know how much higher you can get. It's almost at a point where when you walk in the door, just give me 50 and I'll feed you. Because really, to get your fanny
in sauce up here in Westchester, I'm not even talking about it in the city, but linguine and clam sauce in Westchester, New York, you're paying upwards of $30 a plate for linguine and clam sauce. Meanwhile, I go out and bring it home and make it, the whole thing probably costs me $5.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's talking, he says $4 to $4.50 a plate. And that's one of your, and he uses whole clams that are on the plate, so he goes, that's why it's his highest one. He goes, all the other stuff, carbonara and everything's $2.50 a plate. And they're still $20.
No. Yeah, that's probably right. Carbonara, which is, by the way, delicious.
Yeah. Well, he was rated the best carbonara in town by the Tribune.
Yeah.
I'll bet it's not as good as yours. Do you use bacon or do you use...
I have to tell you, mine's pretty good.
Do you use, you use bacon or prosciutto?
I use not even prosciutto. I use, I use bacon if I'm in a rush, but I'll use pancetta if I really want to make, if I have the time and I go out to the store and I buy it, I'll use pancetta. But if I'm just going to make it, like the last minute, I got bacon in the freezer, I'll use the bacon.
Well, I'm going to watch your stuff to see if I can get that recipe. Right, what are you making this market? Are they printing it in your basement and everywhere else worldwide? We're just throwing money at the system, or what are we doing now? We got the Fed guy has drank the Kool-Aid.
I'll tell you this, they're certainly not putting it in my basement, although I'll open the back door if they really want to.
Yeah, the guy looks like he's glazed over, like he's drugged, the Fed guy.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out tomorrow, right, when the Fed comes out. Certainly all eyes are focused, and I think the issue is going to be, we went from 3 or 4 rate hikes in October when we had the market collapse to completely neutral, to now there's even some speculation on the street that the next rate move is going to be a cut, not a hike, which I have been, kind of, arguing against. I don't see a cut coming. I see, if anything, the best scenario is absolutely no hike at all, nothing for 2019. Although, we at Butcher Joseph think there's going to be one rate hike, and I think the talk is now starting to be maybe there is going to be one rate hike later on this year, and that's what people are going to be listening to tomorrow. It's not going to come today, but I think he's going to open the door and he's going to go from completely neutral to considering the possibility of a single rate hike, at some point later on this year. I think that's what the market's going to listen to.
Kenny, when, we probably don't have time today, but I'd love to get you for a more extended one of these days. I'm starting to get this feeling that the entire, all the words were being talked about. It's like the inflation argument, which we won't go into. The definitions that they've screwed the system so much that the definitions aren't even any good. I talked to one of my buddies. No. They used to do, bear with me for a second. They used to do the Fed funds at night. He goes, there is no Fed's funds rate. People just put the money back at the Fed, and then they get interest from the Fed. And the guy's name's Todd. I said, Todd, if the Fed stopped paying interest, and you actually went back to a Fed's fund rate, given the amount of money in the system, what would the Fed funds rate drop to? The real Fed's fund rate. And he goes, probably 1%. There's that much money still left. So they've redefined what they're doing, Kenny. They have not, the rate increases or rate decreases don't make any difference because they're still pouring the dough in the system. They're just figuring out how much they're paying the banks. And it has nothing to do with the definition you and I think of. And we're talking about it like the definition's the same. It's not.
No, it's not the same. No, it's not the same, and it has become distorted, and it certainly has become distorted over the last decade as you know, we've gone through this crisis, and now we got ourselves in way over our heads, and now we're trying to get ourselves out, which may take just as long to get out as it did to get in, but you're right. I think the definitions have absolutely become distorted.
I honestly think, Kenny, this is so damn scary, that were you around in August 82? Were you in here this early or not?
August of 82, I was 20 years old. I was on the floor of the exchange when that day happened.
Yep.
You're talking about Tuesday, August 17th, when rates were 21%, and Paul Volcker came out and made the announcement that they were, you know, slashing rates by 10% at the time, which was 2 percentage points, which was the birth of the bull market. I'll never forget that day as I stood on the floor of the exchange, and every phone lit up, and the place just went bonkers. Now you mention it, it takes you right back there. I can see myself and feel myself.
Well,
standing
didn't
in that boot space.
Well, the guy from Solomon Brothers came out with an announcement?
Kaufman.
And I named the stock that led us out of the wilderness, at least on our floor, it looked like it. The most unlikely stock that had the big rally to lead it off. You remember?
They're barely
around today.
Was Eastman, which one?
They're barely around today. Eastman Kodak.
Eastman Kodak, yes.
They were the one that all of a sudden, that pit erupted the first.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, we're almost to the point now where somebody who really has their finger on the pulse of the world, somebody, I'm not kidding on this one, somebody like you needs to walk up on TV and say, these guys have been lying to us forever. Look at the inflation we have, and this Fed is way out of control. It would be a moment like that. Because to where somebody's going to, where all of a sudden somebody's going to say, all they've been feeding us is BS. Look at what's happening.
But I think people, you know, I think there is this movement now. I think not a movement now, but I think there's a sense now that people are recognizing exactly what you're saying. That, you know, it's been, especially over the last, you know, half a dozen years, it's been more BS than not.
Well, there is, but it's still not going to. But what if you owned a baseball team or a football team? You've had them go up 5 times in the last 6 years. I mean, you're the happiest man ever. You don't want this to stop.
No, of course you don't want it to stop.
I mean, I don't. You know what I've done for my people, Kenny? I've stopped thinking. I'm just long. I love it, but I keep looking every day, going, "What am I out of my mind being long here?" But I am. I mean, I don't know.
But you know, that's exactly. I think that gives rise to exactly what we're talking about or what we're seeing now, kind of in the political mainstream, right? With the far left on the Democrats, you know, people like AOC and whatever screaming about the disparity. And listen, she may not be wrong, and even Jamie Dimon said it yesterday at some conference he was at, talking about that current policy has created this definite division between upper class and working class. And so I think it's something we're going to see develop, certainly as we move to the presidential election, and it's going to gain more speed.
You know, Kenny, you strike me as always having the sense that what I've done lately, instead of somebody saying something and me going, that sounds pretty stupid, both on the left or the right, I'm looking to see why they said it. You know, if you look at the reason why they said it, that's not necessarily so stupid. It's maybe a fairly good observation.
Well, and I think so. I think, though, like anything, it can be on the ends, on the outskirts, it can be really distorted. But I think kind of in the middle, there is room to have that conversation. And I think it has to happen. And I think it's going to happen over the course of the next 16 months.
I would think you're probably right on that. Let's hope so. And if we can, we'll fan the flames of that instead of what we've been hearing. Anyway, buddy, good to have you back. It's always good. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we won't have a crash between now and then, especially now that I'm long. That would be the perfect time, right?
God. I'll talk.
SB Futures up 10.75, NASDAQ Futures up 31.75. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. I'm Brendan Cornan. Mr. Matt Werber. SP Futures up 975. NASDAQ Futures up 2650. Boeing is down only a buck today. It's 371. So it's quiet on the Boeing front, at least this morning. We've been having this inter Stocks and Jocks really falling upon party lines. Imagine that, Brenda, regarding the Boeing situation. And everybody thinks that I'm this liberal guy that wants the government involved in everything. I maybe have these liberal leanings. I don't want the government involved in anything. It's almost like
remember, you're a libertarian.
Well, Milton Friedman, late in life, they asked him. They go, "You were considered very liberal. Now you're very conservative." And he says, "You know what? I haven't changed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
the label keeps changing, but I don't know. The definitions must be changing because I'm exactly the same as when I started this whole mess and life, meaning the mess. And when I look at the things in the last 25, 30 years, especially since I've been doing shows, keep more of track of it. And obviously, Manny and I have seen a lot happen since we've been doing this. I get this incredible feeling that somehow across the board, I don't know if you remember the movie the Bourne Identity.
Yes.
And
the first one.
The first one. I mean, and it's mm-hmm. there actually is a I don't know if it was a miniseries or what it was, or a made for TV movie that actually follows the book with Richard Chamberlain and who was my favorite girl from Charlie's Angels, Jacqueline Smith. She was in it, which is worth watching just because of that. Richard Chamberlain was Jason Bourne, and it follows the book, page by page,
mm-hmm.
Like the movies, of course, didn't. Even though the movies are good, they're just different. Anyway, the French guy at the eulogy of somebody said that it was something that had gone out of style. His public service is actually is a terrific career, and how you can be the linesman for the county, as Glenn Campbell would say, and it's a real job, making mm-hmm. sure stuff works and making sure lines don't fall down on people. These are jobs you can be proud of, and a reason to get up in the morning, and a reason to home, be nice to your kids at night because you did something somehow or another,
and you can support your family,
and. And have the bass boat and mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. not the yacht, but you got your bass boat and you're good to go. We play softball and whatever else you want to do. I mean, this is what life ought to be for people in the middle,
mm-hmm.
Or for anybody for that matter, because not many people would sit there and go, I could do that pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyway, you get this feeling now that there is this gross with these bigger companies. I mean, I don't believe that an FAA being can be an apolitical organization regulating somebody the size of Boeing that they've been allowed to get. I don't think it's possible.
They can't, and they've even admitted that they don't have the resources to.
I'm not talking about resources. See, that's what they're going to come down to.
Mm-hmm.
If you gave us the money, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do. We don't have the stones to go against these guys because the minute we do, 58 law people with a Boeing check in their pocket are ringing the phone off the hook.
Okay, that's a fair point. But right now, they don't have the manpower to do that, and that even reduces their ability to stand up to Boeing in a case like this, or any large corporation in a case like this.
I'm gonna kind of push back on that a little bit. Not push back because you're wrong, because you're not. You're right. You're never wrong. But I
thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken.
You were wrong about that. God. I actually read this assessment of, I don't know if it was a police department someplace or was the FBI. Whatever it was an investigative group that all they did was whine about not having enough resources.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I read this thing, I got this real, I just shudder when somebody says they don't have resources, because you never have enough resources. And this group went, and I don't know if they followed people, whatever it was, might have been inspectors for meat inspectors or whatever. They followed people, and they had 15 guys, or late, I mean, it was all probably guys at the time, and they said, these are how many plants they have to inspect, okay? And if you can inspect properly, let's say five a week, one a day,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have enough inspectors to do all the plants as often as the law said you were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So you were short on resources. However, let's say there was enough people to do inspections, half as many as you were supposed to. Which means instead of getting there once a month, you get there every 2 months. The fact is, the people were friggin' lazy, mm-hmm. not showing up, mm-hmm. and not doing one, going someplace and playing golf on the day. So in fact, if you looked at the one a day per person, you're actually getting like a third of one a day per person.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so they were perfectly legit in coming out and saying, we don't have enough people. But that's not, no, they didn't. They have enough people to do them all, but the people they did have weren't doing the ones that they could have been doing.
Okay, well, those are two different points.
Well, but they aren't really. What I'm saying is when you talk about people stealing money from people online, for instance, mm-hmm. something that's close to home because I have some people I know, they're going to say we don't have enough people. But they don't do anything, Brandon. Mm-hmm. I mean, but what did you do all day? I did nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, why is this not happening? We don't have enough people. You're never going to have enough people if you don't do anything.
Yeah, but that's a different scenario than if you have inspectors who are doing their job, who are putting in the full 8 hours to do an inspection, and they can legitimately do one a day, and say they would cover 100 plants in 3 months, and instead of having 100 plants, there are 300 plants. It's physically impossible for them to do that, and that's I think where we are right now with the app. And the other thing is, who is qualified to do the inspections legitimately, so you don't just have some guy who's really inexperienced or some kind of an apprentice going in to do the inspection, rather than somebody who's fully vested and trained to do the proper inspection.
But if you had a half a brain, like, I know it's been a little like the SEC in 2008,
mm-hmm. okay,
all he did was whine about they didn't have enough money. But if you had a half a brain, what you would do would say, where are the big problems going to come from? And it should have been cash flows from Japan buying mm-hmm. up new products that nobody understood. And you, if you want to, you could do a full audit at the PTIs of the world every 18 months, not every year.
Mm-hmm.
You never find anything. I mean, people like us don't do anything. You know, we don't do stuff wrong. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you could cut down there and put it towards where you think the risk is. They don't.
Yep.
They'll still be 500 guys running around the little brokerage firms messing with them,
mm-hmm.
and two guys maybe watching the stuff that could bring down the system. I mean, if you take their explanation of why they screwed up.
No, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That when you aren't limited in your resources, you have to put your resources where they're going to do the most good, where you're going to find the most likely breaches in the system. I agree with you completely.
But I sent an email to our guys yesterday, and I said, look, you've got this Boeing company. The president was going to spank him because of Air Force One. He didn't. The lady from Boeing, and I won't be like the president and imply something sexual. She shows up in the Oval Office 3 times, and all of a sudden, Boeing is the best company on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The F-35 is okay. This is okay. Although, in the X-15, now they've got a big push on that. This tanker. How many times do we have to do the tanker thing before the 767s beat Airbus out for the tanker?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden the tankers are being delivered and they don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how many, I mean, there's nobody that has more advantage. Everybody on both sides of the aisle wanted to close the Export-Import Bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who gets more money through there than Boeing? So now all of a sudden the Export-Import Bank's okay. Is there any chance, now that, if everybody doesn't know the history of this, the Airbus came out with a 320 or something. The one that looks like the 737. You almost mm-hmm. can't tell them apart. The
380? Is that the huge one?
No, it's the one that looks like a 737, a two-engine, single-aisle job. I think it's a 320. I'm not positive. Maybe you wouldn't mind checking it. They said, well, look, we're going to come out with a new version, new engines, maybe a little bigger wing. I'm not sure what they were going to do. It was going to be more fuel efficient. And they jumped Boeing for essentially a year. And the big crisis was, oh, my God, is Boeing going to catch up to these guys? They're behind. Well, then they're pounding this new 737 MAX through, which isn't the same as the difference between the 300 and the 400. This is a new wing. It's bigger wing.
Yep. It's effectively a new plane.
Much longer distance, blah, blah, blah. And and somewhat the same fuselage, which is a little interesting because the 757 really was designed. Anyway, I go too deep into that. So all of a sudden, they're pounding to get this thing out. And they've got orders basically out the behind before they deliver their first one. And you're trying to tell me that the FAA is not more of a cheering section than they are a regulator at this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, especially because that's such an important corporation in the United States.
They are our biggest exporter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think, Trump's How pissed off would he be at our import-export numbers if Boeing wasn't here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, is there any chance that the guy who's the head of the FAA can call up, who's a muttonhead, who's head of the Senate, whose wife is Alina Chow?
McConnell.
Call McConnell and say, hey, sorry, these guys, looks to me like their software is messed up. We're delaying these things for or God help you, the senator from Illinois or the senator from Washington where they're building the stuff. And we're going to push these things out 6 months. We want to make sure they have more testing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the voice coming through the other end of the line?
The uproar would be tremendous.
Yeah. So why? I mean, so what do you do? You sit back and be a Casper milk toast or what?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the idea that these guys are on the job. I mean, come on. I mean, they're not. Who's the guy? Sergeant Preston
of the Yukon.
Yeah. I mean, how does it even work? So I mean, as a citizen, you look at the stuff and you say, okay, these guys are incompetent or seems to be. Now that anyone ground a thing with two of them. Two of them nosedive and flatten the ground
within 10 minutes of takeoff.
Within 10 minutes of takeoff, and we have people trying to defend them, saying we got to make sure they're similar. They're similar, for God's sake! what do you got to do to be similar?
Mm-hmm.
Similar to people. The people are the size of a pea, right? I mean, I just whatever it is, you have to pause and figure this out before you put one up in the air again. I don't care what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just to me, it's so obvious. And other people say, wait a minute, our pilots are better to stand. We need to wait for firm statistics. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with pilot training. When you have two incidents like this in short order with a brand new plane, there has to be a design flaw in there someplace, something that was missed in the testing services. Well, and if not, you still have to ground the plane so you've proved that that's not the case.
Well, and you know, but then we've seen it how many times? We saw it with Katrina, where they have people called in because part of the dike was leaking. And nobody showed up to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had it with the thing under the city of Chicago, the flood here. The report was sitting on somebody's desk. You better fix this thing. No, I mean, the incompetence up and down the line, is it everywhere? I mean, it seems like everything we do is a bleep up.
Well, incompetence only shows itself when a disaster happens. And, you know, when you're talking about the FAA requirements, there are so many. There is complacency. I'm not going to say incompetence, but there's complacency at a certain level. When there's a trust built up over years of a company like Boeing having very good products, very good airplanes, and safe airplanes. I mean, look at how few airline accidents there have been in the United States in the last 30 years.
Well, since you took a DC-10 out of term service, not too many.
Yeah. Well, that was back in the 70s when the engine fell off the wing here in O'Hare. But, I mean, overall, look at since that time, you don't see a lot of examples like what just happened. So I think there's a complacency both at the FAA level and maybe even at the Boeing company or, you know, some of the big corporations here. They expect that everything they've done to work so well that they take shortcuts to get it out. And your point is well taken. Given the orders and the back of the orders to deliver these planes, I mean, this is the most sought-after plane in the world. Boeing's numbers are going through the roof with, what is it, like 5,000 of these are in order?
They will have sold more of these than all their other planes combined,
mm-hmm.
since the history of the company.
That's a huge incentive. And when you look at what has gone on before with the Boeing planes, they're safe. And they have been safe. Even the previous models of the 737 have been safe. So, you know, maybe you're not paying quite as much attention to this new software plan. You know, maybe you're not putting it in the manuals. And the so-called incompetence level comes in because of the complacency involved, not necessarily because of the incompetence. The incompetency comes in because you're complacent.
You know, the tooling on these things, I'm not saying it's the same. I mean, some of it's probably been, is the same tooling that was used on the 707? Can you imagine the margin on this plane? Because every Boeing single-aisle plane since the 707 has been the exact same size. 727, 757, and 737 are all the fuselage is the exact same.
Hmm.
Made in the same set of tooling.
Hmm.
That's why a lot of stewardess, talk about dating myself. Your flight attendants prefer the Airbus because it's like the tube is actually like 8 inches wider.
Mm-hmm.
So you get down the aisle a little easier. I think the Boeing is 11.5, and the Airbus is like 12.6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little wider. And so, I mean, but I'm saying these guys, the margin on this thing has to be absolutely phenomenal. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do they cost, $128 million?
They're expensive. A little bit beyond my budget. I know you've got your own plane, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it wouldn't be a 737. I'd have to have a 57.
what is you Trump and Trump.
Have? Yeah, Trump's got a 57. The you're really big if you got a 67. You know, and then you got a wide body type thing. But I'm saying we're seeing this. Now, is Powell the same as Volcker? In terms, can he really do what he wants, or how much pressure is on him? We saw how much pressure was applied to the guy in the modern world,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden the guy totally changed his tone. He was restricting the money. Right now, if you look at classical monetary theory, and I'm not talking about rates because with Kenny we talked about the rates are no longer an indication, but they're changing the definitions on you, Brendan, and that's why regular people, saying what they normally would say when this happens, to me, don't know what they're talking about. When you start talking about the Fed paying banks overnight, that's not a Fed's funds rate. The Fed's fund rate was designed to give you an indication of money that was awash in the system, which means that if you had a certain amount of money in there, there was a certain amount of demand for it, a member bank would charge another member bank $2.75 overnight for loans. Where if the next night it was two and a half, money wasn't as dear as it was the night before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because money is a good like anything else. There's a price for it. Well, there used to be a price for it.
Okay, but how do we switch from Boeing to this?
I missed that transition.
Well,
I'm saying, as you know, my theme for the show, the same person who's in charge of the FAA, and now really can't be, is the same person who's in charge of the Fed. And if he upsets the apple cart at all that certain people want, he can't be in charge of the Fed. Look at the pressure. I know we forget this quick because there's so much going on in the world, but look at the pressure that man was under, I'm going to say 6 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
where every single person, the first thing anybody said on CNBC was whether he should be fired or not. Trump was tweeting twice a day, we got to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. It was the worst selection I ever made. And all of a sudden he came out and said, you know what? This is what they want to hear, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and all of a sudden, we're not going to do two more decreases. They were starting to pull money out of the system. Money supply growth was down to 3.5%. Now it's back up to 6. I've never seen a turnaround like that except when there was a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, okay, you guys want money? Somebody must have called them and said, this is what we do. You come out today and you say you're becoming a dove all of a sudden. And before you do that, buy 15 futures like the rest of us are doing. And guess what? By the afternoon, you'll be rich. Nobody will be bitching at it anymore. Life will be good. And that's essentially, I'm not accusing the man of buying the futures, but I mean, at some point, you sit there and go, this job, I don't want to, every time I turn on TV, I don't want somebody saying I should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you cave to the pressure.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you can't count on any of these people in their spots in government. I don't count on Ben Carson
mm-hmm.
to stand up to a drug company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all the money they've given, I don't think you can be, unless you have a president that will absolutely back you, no matter what. And I don't see this guy doing that. I don't see why you'd want to be a cabinet official, why you'd want one of these jobs.
Well, that's one of the problems that he has attracting people to his administration right now. I mean, that's exactly what happened with people like Jeff Sessions and Mattis and Kelly and everybody else. You go down the line, there's no loyalty. When he talks about loyalty, he wants loyalty to him. And if you push back at all, you're disloyal and you're pushed out of office. Yeah. There's no sense of weathering the storm. Weathering the storm means protecting this administration.
Right. Well, that's,
And in contrast, and you brought this up before many times about Volcker, when he was head of the Fed and inflation went through the roof, he withstood the storm and he had the backing of the president at the time, even though it was a very, very rough time. That was what was deemed necessary and he had support to stick it out.
Well, because everybody realized that things had gotten so far out of hand the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But it took them forever to realize it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how they got in the situation in the first place. But still, I agree with you that you need to be able to weather the storm, and it's not just what you're going to do for this quarter for bottom line interest or looking at the numbers for this month to change. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to have a philosophy. And you've got to understand that it's not going to be a straight upward trajectory, that there's going to be ups and downs.
Well, but here's the problem, in my opinion, because obviously, we hang around with a lot of used to be middle class people. We don't just hang around with the one percenters, though we can name a few. The issue comes down to, in my lifetime and in my studies, I realize that this stuff is not even. And some groups benefit better than the others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to have an inflation where, if everything was just 100% inflation, okay, every year we're going to double the amount of money out there, as foolish as that would be. If you let everything flow and everything was competitive, it wouldn't hurt anybody at all, Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that the car 1 year will be $34,000, next year it's going to be $68,000, next year it's going to be $136,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You'll make $80,000 1 year, $160,000 the next three, next year $320,000. If it affected everybody easily, other than being a royal pain in the ass, why would anybody care?
Mm-hmm.
But it's clearly not. And then the people who it has benefited, the people that are running the government, I think, have obviously figured it out. That if you pour money into it, the people that own assets are the ones that make out like a bandit. It doesn't necessarily get to anybody's paycheck. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even necessarily, it certainly hasn't hit PTI's amount we can charge for options or stock. I mean, that's going down, not up.
Or even services.
Yeah, or even services. I mean, the guy who gives you a haircut doesn't get to charge you double every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the people with the assets, what's helping the most, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. So then you have even more. It becomes self fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no surprise to me that the top 1% does better in an inflationary period. They
right.
always do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you end up with something like that. They're not going to turn it. But if it was even, nobody'd care.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
Right.
So that's why I, you know, so he has a political problem in that spot. I mean, I was going to say something bad. The guy who's the head of commerce, Wilbur Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You think Wilbur Ross cares about the 25-year-old guy, whether he's making $9 an hour or 10?
No.
All he cares about is his stock portfolio.
In fact, look what happened during the government shutdown with his comment, well, why don't they just go out and borrow it?
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about a situation where the federal government has kept interest rates for most people in banks at zero for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being, well, that's good for everybody. We still have people on TV, guys in the Fed that say, yeah, and I'd like to put right in their face, I'd like to shove it right in their face like a pie. Hey, do you realize that the credit card interest rates went up during those 8 years and
mm-hmm.
down?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you have one and not the other?
And how do you maintain that for senior citizens on a fixed income?
Well, you don't care about them.
Who are investing, who have a nest egg that they've saved for years and years and years, and where are they making their investment money right now?
Well, now you push them into the market where they're very uncomfortable,
because mm-hmm.
I've been interviewing a lot of them lately. Although this week, everybody's happy. But by and large, they're 90% investment. And most seniors should be, if you use the old formula, should be 40% market, 40% fixed income, 20% cash, where they're making 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of that happens now. So they're 90% in the market, and we go up every day, but that's okay. But one of these days, maybe we won't.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of complaining in these areas last quarter or last year, why do you think these guys turned the faucet back in? Can you imagine the Merrill Lynch's and everybody in the world that have just give us all your money, pay us 1%, we'll put it in the market, it goes up, and all of a sudden you have a contractionary quarter? Can you imagine the congressmen that were getting the phone calls from these places saying, all these old people are mad. Well, what do you got them? Well, they're dead, stone cold, long. Well, whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where everybody is now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know that we have the political will. If you walk down the street today, simple question, it's stuff I think of. If you were to ask somebody who hired Volcker, what do you think the answer would be?
I don't know.
Manny?
Oh, you mean, are you asking?
Which president?
Which president?
Oh, it was Carter.
Well, you know that. I'm going to say
you're thinking they're going to say Reagan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ronald Reagan did that. That's what fixed us all.
No, it was Carter.
I understand it. I understand it. But my point is that everything is becoming revisionist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the S&P futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 31. It may sound like I'm not happy, but I am. I'm long. So we'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. This is Brendan Cornan. This is Matt Weber on the board. This is John Neal in a second. We're going to have to ask John Neal if he wants to be Musk's regulator. Every time he puts out a tweet, he has to review them. I don't think Jan wants that, Jan. SP futures up 9.25. NASDAQ futures up 29. Dow futures up 104. Again, we've been quiet around the rest of the world this morning, but we are up here. Well, the DAX is up 1%, 133. FTSE's up 44.6. I was speaking about Asia quiet this morning. CAC around up 30.6%. Those guys are obviously this has all been going up there since the Bank of England didn't change anything. And actually the big move was the Bank of Japan staying negative on the interest rates, which I don't think people thought they were going to switch, and they did not. Nikkei down 17, call that flat. Shanghai down 5, call that flat. Hang Seng up 57, it's 0.2%. So Asia very quiet. We've got oil up again, up 29 cents, 59.38. Brent
6801. Will Brent get to 70? I don't know. We'll, it's pushing that way. The spread is now 59.38, 6801. So that's $8.70 or so, down from the 10.50 it was a few weeks ago. RBOB gas pushing to 190, 189 this morning. As everybody, I think, has noticed, their gas prices are going up at the pump. We got gold going up today, up 790 back to 1309, but it's dip under 1300, didn't last all that long. Silver up a dime, 1543. Maddie, what do you got for it? Palladium, record high, above $1,600 an ounce on plans for Russia export ban. Whatever the hell that means. We'll be right back. We'll be right back over to Stocks, Traffic, Weather, Sports, Mr. Weber.
Good God.
I'm looking at this Palladium.
You're on.
I was about to make a joke about you getting a ring, but then I realized Palladium is not in the ring. Platinum's in the ring.
That's
so
correct.
So I missed my joke. So there.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic building steadily on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower, that earlier crash at 290, and the Tri-State is all clear, so that's good news. No issues on the Stevenson. Normal traffic volumes on the Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. Big crash in the area. Northwestern suburbs, Route 53, eastbound between Gulf Road and Woodfield Road, is backed up all the way to the Jane Addams I-90 tollway. The express lanes are closed, and traffic is being forced into the local lanes, so expect significant delays in that area. Other area, a crash of note, Wheaton, Roosevelt Road, Route 38, at Winfield Road, there is an accident. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, cold temperatures, but we warm up slightly this afternoon. We'll touch a high of 49, which will feel nice. Right now it's clear and 34 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 86. Right now it's clear and 57. In sports, the Bulls blew out the Suns in Phoenix 116-101. In hockey, Blackhawks and Coyotes are fighting for the final playoff spot in the West. A couple other teams in the mix as well. Hawks lost in overtime to Vancouver 3-2 at home last night, but they did get a point for making it into the extra frame. Coyotes lost to the Lightning 4-1, so the Blackhawks are 4 points behind the Arizona Coyotes with about 10 games to play. Lastly, Loyola accepted an invite to the NIT, and they'll open the NIT tournament tonight at Creighton. That's an 8 p.m. Chicago time tip.
Chief. Did you, hey, John, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, guys.
Did you hear, did you watch the beginning of the Hawk game last night? They had Jim Tomey do the ceremonial puck drop.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And his poor dad died last Saturday night.
Oh, really?
And so they had a moment of silence for, God, his dad looked just like him.
From Peoria.
Yeah. And
speaking of the Bradley
Illinois, team, not yeah. Arizona.
Yeah. And he,
right.
I always thought Jim Tomey was a seriously class act, and he surely proved it again last night. And everybody seems to like him, and he likes everybody. It's one of those kind of things. And his family was there, and it was fun. I'm going to ask who's the. They have the talk about one percenter seats. John, I can see those of you up here and those things. They have two seats between the two benches, and you're on TV, and they got to cross you an arm and a leg. I mean, what do you think?
I think those are actually contest seats that you win.
I think you can buy them.
I'm sure you can buy them, but those are ones that are constantly given away in contests.
Probably, but I mean, there's still a big price on the people running the contest. I think they're buying them. I mean, it's
someone's buying them. I'm not saying they're free. I'm just saying those are constantly given away in all kinds of prizes.
I think they're like $2,500 a seat, three maybe. I mean, it's they're up there. They're once in a while, this is the second time I've seen this big, huge guy with his massive head of gray hair down to his shoulders in the seat. He's always got the latest Blackhawk. I thought there was only like four jerseys you could buy. This guy had one on last night that I haven't seen yet. So the Hawks got the white, the red. They got the green.
Got black.
Well, they got the black, and then there's the green. But this one was like a new. Then there's a throwback, too. So they actually have five, don't they? You know, or they don't only have four available at the time. But anyway, it's. God, what do those things cost? $200? $225 for the authentic one?
I think the authentic one's like $175.
Wow. Anywho, I'm dying to find out who this guy is because I've seen him there several times now. So why would you want to be on – I wouldn't want to be on TV. I just want to sit there and watch the game, but that would just be me. So, John, what's going on down there, buddy? Are you loving this rally? I know you're liking the goal rally.
Yeah, so far so good with that. I'm pleased with that. Yeah, and everything's shaking out pretty well so far.
Yeah, and when do you I just, whenever I have a day where I'm long and I don't do anything and it goes up, I just, my finger twitches because I'm like, this to me is an out of world experience, this every day in a row here after we've,
I don't know why it's an out of world experience when it's been happening for like 10 straight years.
Well, you're right, except,
11 maybe.
This to me is bizarre world, the thing we did to the Fed though. I've never seen a turnaround like that. And I don't know when this guy's gonna turn around and say, you know what, I'm not doing it this way anymore. Well, I don't know if there's gonna be, I sense revolt somewhere. I don't know where, but probably not this week or this month or this year, but I don't know.
Wasn't this guy handpicked by the president to do exactly what he's doing?
Well, then he wanted to fire him.
Well, because for one second he had a moment of clarity where he thought he was going to, you know, act on his own. Yeah, and then that was made clear that you were put in for one reason only. And that ended that really quick, I thought.
See, if I will venture to say that if this changes that is the way you're thinking, it's going to be November 10th of 2020.
Could be. Could very well
be. You're probably right about that. Yeah, out of harm's way, right?
If I had a dream about it, it would be Animal House, where the guy ran and took the baton. It had the man walking down toward the dead end wall. The dead end wall is before you hit the wall. It's like whatever. I mean, there's no top to any of this stuff. There's no sense of. I mean, the whole idea that you have a world that's, I mean, in my day, the market was supposed to be looking for. Now, I'm sure people will say that it, quote, is. But we just had Fed people coming out and saying we might need a rate cut because everything's slowing down so much worldwide. And yet worldwide markets are running up like they're a scalded cat. I mean, somewhere along the line, this has to get together. It's like when Carl comes on and says at the end of the year, the household survey has to match the establishment survey or else the labor numbers are just all screwed up, which maybe they are. But in the end of the day, they have to match, right? Mm-hmm. You would think at the end of the day, the markets around the world need to match the economies. You would think. And I'm just saying right now, it looks to me like they're sort of going different directions.
That's like what we talk about all the time, Tom, is that's why, fortunately for people, going to have a hard fall, you know.
Well, but as long as I just talk about it and don't sell, it's okay.
That part's true, I guess. Right?
I mean, it's not what you say, it's what you do, Brendan, right? I still remember the guy I hit from this guy shows up for a seminar back in the day, and he goes, and this is so today. The dude says to me, you know, before the seminar, I always ask, okay, why, you know, you want to break the ice a little bit. Why are people here? What do you want to learn? This guy raises his hand. I want to learn how to be short the market like you guys know how to do. Okay, fine. Obviously, you're bearish. I'm bearish. I'm so bearish. I can't believe we're doing this. This might have been in Clinton's time. This guy didn't know how to be president, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how have you heard that before? And he goes, I'm so bearish. And I said, well, what do your investments look like? Well, I'm in cash. I want you to teach me how to be short. So everything you own is in cash. Well, no, I got my 401k. Well, what are you in there? What do you mean? That's my retirement money. No, that's your investment money. So what do you have in there? He says, well, I'm got the, this fund, that fund. I said, so you're essentially balls out long, 100% long. Well, that's my retirement money. No, you're 100% long. Well, yeah. And I said, did you make a contribution last week? Well, yeah. I said, so not only are you 100% long, you're buying as we speak. Well, I don't see why you look at it that way. how else am I going to look at it? I mean, I'm not trying to give you grief. You're my guest for a seminar. I said, but you're so bearish, and yet you're 100% in the market, and you're buying weekly. He goes, I still can't believe you look at it that way. your mentality does not match your actions, is all I'm saying. I mean, he goes, well, what can I do? I said, if you're really that bearish, and you think going down tomorrow, which, by the way, I don't agree with you, I would just call your guy up on Monday and put it all in cash. Well, I can't do that. I'm in for the long term. Okay. I mean, that's why when you see that kind of struggling among the retail community, you know that you don't want crashes. And this is the difference between somebody who's been in the business as long as me and Jen and the retail public is that when the market runs up and then crashes down to where it started, people lose more on the downside than they made on the upside. Is that a fair statement? And I know that. That's why I don't like to see markets get pumped up only to come down. Because it's not a zero-sum game. Right? Nobody would care if Brendan had 1,000 shares of IBM at 150 and it went to 200 and went back to 150. And all of a sudden you're sitting there going, gee, I was on my sailboat around the world. Looks like I'm even. Other than the fact that you could have sold it higher, you're probably not hurt. But along the way, people use their profits to take money out. They take money out for a boat, for a car. They take margin loans. They buy more stock. When it goes back down to 150, it's not a zero sum game. If it was, I basically wouldn't talk about this all the time. Is that fair, Jen?
Yes, it is.
And Brendan, you're pretty up on this stuff. I mean, where do you find a hole in that logic? I mean, it just is. I mean,
it depends on how you're looking at it, as whether you're able to take money out and use it as a gain or you're even.
How are you gonna
pick when to sell and when to buy if you're always trying to hit the right time to buy and sell?
I think if government and the Fed stayed out of it, I think you could pretty much buy any time. Because if things are growing like you'd like to think they are in America, it should be somewhat of a steady line up. A line, but you know what I'm saying, you shouldn't have if you go back to when my investment world started, really, when I came out of school, even earlier, in 1970-something. You had the Fed pouring money in the system during the 60s. If you look at the market during the 60s, you'll see a pop-up that came out of nowhere. Well, it didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of the Fed putting money in the system when they went off the gold standard. Then all of a sudden there was a problem. In the early 70s, inflation came in, and they pulled money out of the system. All of a sudden, during the 70s, you see the market go back down again. And when I started in 80, we got this inflation in, and all of a sudden the market's at, you know, way down from where it was. It was down 25-30%. Then all of a sudden somebody puts money in. I mean, Y2K, money went in the system. Why do you think that the top of the dot-bomb era was March of 2001? It was 3 to 4 months after the Fed put money in for Y2K. 6 months is the number when monetary policy works. They poured money into the system, and guess what? Most of it went into the stock market. It didn't go into banks to help people get cash out on January 2nd if the world were to come to an end. I mean, every time you put money in, it goes to the market. Every time you pull it out, it comes from the market. You can look at big moves up or down. They're always, to me, mistakes by the Fed in the last 50 years. But if you didn't have that, if you were steady, if you did the Milton Friedman-esque, and you just did the 3% growth every year, I think you could invest pretty much any time you wanted, because as long as you didn't get a company that was a bomber and it went straight down. But in the market, I think you should grow 6-7% a year, or 5% or 4% or whatever it is. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing years where we're up way up, and all of a sudden maybe we have a year where we're way down. I think that's all because of political screw-ups, and I don't like to see that. I don't know if that's a long-winded answer, but you think I'm sort of right on this, Jen, or not?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You and I talk about this almost, every week, how this is, inflated, and things like that. Definitely nothing new, Tom.
But to answer your question, Brendan, I think if the politics stayed out of it, and it really was just a valuation of the income and the stocks, I think you can invest any time. And every day, you probably should be in the 500-hour a week group. You know, send me 500 hours a week, and every month I'll buy you some stock.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I mean, I don't know. Are you anywhere near as wanting to get in as you were on Christmas Eve? We're up 20%, and I mean, there are people who think that a 20% move in 8 weeks, if it's to the upside, it's okay. To me, it's just another indication of a market that's trying to find itself. I mean, why is a 20% up move in a short term better than a 20% down move in a short term? It shows that the market is searching for valuation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, to me it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of those, to me, seem odd, especially when an economy is supposedly sailing along perfectly if you listen to our president. If you listen to people, you can't start a conversation. Well, the economy's good, isn't it? Well, is it?
Depends on what markers you're using.
Well, yeah.
But that's always true. I mean,
always say though that the market has nothing to do with the economy?
Yeah.
It always is supposed to be forward leaning. So in other words, the theorists are that when you see the market going up and everybody's around, you look like they're broke. the market is sensing that 6 months from now was always the standard. 6 months from now, things would be better. It's and it also, if you go back to when recessions, quote, start, by whoever the guy is decides when you're in a recession, you'll see the market going down usually the 6 months or year before that. Right, Jen?
Mm-hmm.
So there always was timing to it. So, yeah. It's
but
not
how do you explain the short-term up and downs over the last 6 months to a year?
I'm going to say the Fed. Absolutely the Fed. Without a doubt. With some news, I mean, clearly.
That's what I was going to say, with some supplemental, you know, things that are indigenous to certain sectors and things like that.
I mean, to go from a 3% money supply growth to a 6 over a 2-week span, Brendan, is spectacular. And that money, the money doesn't go. I mean, if they decide to pour money into the system tomorrow, do you get a check?
No.
Do you, Jan?
No, sir.
Well, where do you think it goes?
I'll take one, though.
It lands in a big pool. And it all of a sudden becomes very easy to get. And people who are in the mix, the Microsofts, the Apples of the world, they can go borrow at 3%, 3.5%, and buy their stock back. You and I, what's our credit card interest? 18, unless we have a one from back in the day we got for 7 or something? It's not even. You would think that money should be available for most people. It has never trickled down. So it's easier for market participants to get that than other people. What do you think Goldman Sachs is paying on margin interest, or what do you think that, you know, I mean, it's if they want to go out and buy a stock, what do you think they're paying in interest? It's like next to nothing.
Right.
So I mean, it is. I mean, I know I'm talking too much here. I always do, but I mean, it's a little off the board. Has the government always been involved? Yes. I mean, I know that. I'm not that naive, but I've never seen swings like this, Brennan. I mean, Greenspan had the 1% interest type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before 2007, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every peak, it seems to have been preordained by the Fed putting money in the system, and all of a sudden turn around and saying it's too much. I mean, that's what I see. So now I'm just watching these guys, and as long as these guys are doing it, I think you got to stay long, which I am. But I also know that if you keep doing it, someday somewhere, somebody other than us is going to say, wow, this is pretty inflationary, and we can't hide it anymore. Because that's essentially what happened during the 60s. I never thought we'd go down that road again, because it was so painful to come out of it. I mean, do you ever think that we would take a chance on what Volcker had to do again? I mean, how miserable was life
it
then?
It seems pretty draconian.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure he did the right thing either, in a sense of how... I mean, I don't think he needed to do it as fast as he did, because he essentially buried the savings and loan industry, which I think we're feeling the effects of today. Because we really don't have... What is our mortgage system now? Two dead firms, Fannie and Freddie, still working?
Mm-hmm.
That's our system? I mean, who would think of that? And the people who own Fannie and Freddie are bleep out of luck, and the federal government's stealing the money. So they're in the mortgage business, taking the dough. I mean, did anybody think that's the right way to go about it? Just saying, you know. What do you think's going to happen with those guys, Brendan? I mean, there are people, Jan, please, we'll pile in on this. Jan, do you have people that own that stock? We have some people here still have it.
No, unfortunately not.
Did you, I mean, we've got recent people that are believers that one of these days they're going to win a court case. And, Jan, you got a machine up? What are they trading for? They're still like $3 or $4, aren't they?
Well, exactly. As a matter of fact, I think after that, I think I do have one client that, just like you're saying, Tom, kind of believed in that they'll come back out of this, and did, I think, about Fannie, actually.
That they'll get some sort of, you know, I mean, Fannie Preferred, I think, Brendan, was the only stock in this country that was considered good capital for a bank, wasn't it? It all went to zero?
I'm not sure.
I mean, there's people who still own Fannie and Freddie, and they're not making any of that dough. It's going right to the Treasury. So the federal government essentially broke the system, booted out the shareholders, and now they are the system, making a fortune.
Right.
I mean, how do you write fiction like this and sell a book? We should try and do that. We should write a book about this. What do you think, Jen? All the crazy stuff, chapters. I'll bet we wouldn't sell a book, even though we'd be printing the truth. We'd have to label it Well, if we label it fiction, we'd have to label it fiction because nobody would believe it. We couldn't put nonfiction.
Science fiction, probably.
Science fiction. So what do you see down there? How much further are we going to ride to this XLE? And I'm looking the other way because it's going up every day, finally.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be for some time, Tom, just for all the reasons we've been talking about here this morning.
Any chance of us reaching 70? 66.90 I have it this morning. 70 would be a nice number. I'd get people out there.
Yeah, no, I can see that in the next couple of weeks. I think it's very possible.
So I shouldn't sell any calls. The calls are cheap. I almost want to buy some.
Well, that's the problem. That's why I've done several things. I haven't sold the calls and the move we've had up and so on and so forth.
The phenomenon, Brendan, we're talking about is when you move up in these you know, times that we go up and then sometimes we go down. The move up is accompanied by the implied volatility dropping pretty dramatically. So you say to yourself when the XLE gets to, say, 67, you want to start selling covered calls. Then you look at the calls, and the implied volatility is maybe down to 14, where when the stock was 60, it was 22. So you look at these calls and you go, I don't want to sell anything at 30 cents. What if it keeps going up? Then I'm buying something back for $2. I just sold at 30 cents. I don't want to do that. So you end up really... I haven't sold any, Jen, because it seems like they're not going anywhere. I mean, you know,
yeah, I've got an awful lot of things unencumbered right now, Tom.
Yeah, I do too, and it's the reason why I guess I'm grousing this morning about the market going up is because I'm long and I'm worried.
Right.
Is it?
Well, I tend to do partial positions right now anyhow, so those little bit that I do have covered.
Man, if I could sell the 70s for a nice fat premium, I'd do it in a nanosecond. What are the 70s? 10 cents? What's the point?
Well, that's exactly correct. What is the point?
Right. But I do keep rolling the puts up. So if it turns around, goes the other way, at least I got the things protected. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe those things are up. And I got the why do you think that, just out of curiosity, all real questions. Why do you suppose that, like, the GDXs and the XLEs have been lagging the commodity? I mean, last time gold was 1310, the GDX was, I think, 25 hours. Now it's 22 and a quarter. Same way with the XLE. Last time oil was here, I'm saying the XLE was 69.70 and it's 66.90. Why do you suppose that is, even with the rest of the market going up so much?
I don't know, because you're right, but as you point out, they're usually forward-looking. That's a good question.
I mean, do they think it's all just a joke and we're going to come right back down, or what? I mean, I don't know. I just...
Neither do I. Oh.
Well, we're supposed to know. We're the pros. So what's with your team? Are you guys going to make the playoffs, or you let the Hawks sneak in?
Well, it's close, so we'll see. It's actually pretty much a miracle if they do make it. I mean, they were a way afterthought, you know, at the beginning of the season. And the other thing with the town, we've got ASU going to the tournament. So first,
you got that going for
you. Kind of exciting for the town.
You guys have a regional near you? Yes or no? We got to go.
Yes.
You do. Well, good for you. SP Futures up 10.50 now. NASDAQ Futures up 28.75. I'm Tom Howie. He's Brendan Cornyn. He's Matt Weber. John Neal. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.